Thank you for that introduction. My name is Adam Whalen, and I'm a master's student at Mississippi State University studying under Dr. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore. And today I'm going to be talking to you about honeybees and Mid-South cotton and other crops. So first I'd like to introduce a declining pollinator health. Worldwide there's been a noticed decline in populations of both managed and native pollinators. There's been several causal mechanisms, and these include habitat loss, spiral pathogens, parasitic mites, and pesticides. And one of the major reasons that pesticides are being suspected is because of many agrochemical compounds being found in both wax and pollen samples of bees that are managed near agricultural environments. So the biggest concern with these pesticides is sublethal effects. With honeybees being social insects and being so dependent upon a behavioral task within the hive to survive, there's belief that maybe chemicals at sublethal doses could affect these behaviors and ultimately contribute to a loss in the colony. And one suggested option to reduce this exposure has been night spraying, which could be quite dangerous and not as safe as spraying in the daytime with airplanes. So this is a list that is comprised of highly toxic pesticides. It was developed by Virginia Tech in a bulletin. And you can see that a lot of our commonly used insecticides are listed as being highly toxic to honeybees. And what this means is that these chemicals can cause severe bee losses when applied in an area within a day of bees visiting the crop. And here's another group of chemicals from that same bulletin, and these are listed as moderately toxic. And these pesticides can be used in the vicinity of bees if the dosage, timing, and method of application is correct. But if they're applied directly to honeybees or areas where honeybees are foraging, they can result in a loss of colonies. So I wanted to show just the wording on a lot of our labels of the chemicals we use. The ones that are deemed deadly to honeybees, most of them are labeled saying that they can't be used when honeybees are visiting vegetation within the field or on the outside of the field. So the objective of my research was to determine when and at what densities European honeybees visit agronomic crops in the Mid-South, consisting of the states Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Fields of cotton, corn, and soybeans were scouted for foraging honeybees. These fields were scouted at three different time intervals that included morning, midday, and evening. The morning time interval was defined as 3 hours immediately after sunrise. The midday time interval was approximately 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and the evening time interval was 3 hours immediately before sunset. And for each location, time interval and location, we took weather parameters that included temperature, humidity, wind speed, wind direction, and cloud cover. We also took the growth state of the crop, and if there were any known apiaries in the vicinity, we would record the distance. We sampled a total of 82 fields within the three states. So our sampling procedure consisted of three observers slowly walking 50 meters of row and counting the number of honeybees on their row using a hand counter. We sampled each field at three different distances into the field. So we had at the field edge, which would be 0 meters. We also sampled within 20 meters of the field, 50 meters, and 100. We used an unchecked planted row between each observer to serve as a buffer. And each observer walked slowly, not to disturb foraging honeybees in the air so they wouldn't be flushed into other distances within the field. So with this number of bees, we were able to use the row width to establish a bees per acre value. And this is how we recorded our data. So I'd like to set up my graphs. For the majority of them, on the y-axis will be the bees per acre value. So for each crop with bees per acre, within the crops, we significantly saw more bees in soybeans. For the time of day, we saw more bees in the middle of the day with just about 17 bees per acre during that midday time interval. Then there were significantly less in the morning, and then the significantly least amount of bees found in the evening time interval. So then we wanted to look at these crops individually. So in corn, we saw actually more bees in the morning with no bees being found in the evening time interval. With cotton, there were no significant differences between the time of day. In soybeans, this is where we saw this big increase in the middle of the day, and it was the significantly most bees observed. We looked at each distance, and there was no significant differences within how far into the field the bees were foraging. So in this graph right here, we looked at percent detection of crop by time. So this kind of can show us how frequently we were seeing honeybees. And on the y-axis is percent detection. So for our significantly most time interval per crop, we saw almost 25% in soybeans. So the most honeybees we saw was about one out of every four soybean fields. And you can see that it got less with the different crops and different time intervals. So in conclusion, most foraging honeybees were observed in soybeans, and the middle of the day, midday time interval had the most, followed by the morning and then the evening with the least. We didn't see any significance in the distance within the field. So this draws the conclusion that night spraying would not be as effective as spraying in the middle of the day. Night spraying might not be as effective as afternoon spraying as a way to limit contact with foraging honeybees, because with there being the least amount of bees observed in the afternoon, you spray in the afternoon and have the night time for the residual of the chemical to wear off before bees slowly start entering the field in the morning in the middle of the day. I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore, as well as Dr. Scott Stewart with Tennessee and Dr. Gus Lorenz with Arkansas. I'd also like to thank Dr. Don Cook and Dr. Fred Musser, as well as my fellow graduate students, all the student workers that helped with this research, as well as my sponsors at Mississippi State University, and I will take any questions.
We have plenty of time for questions for Adam. All right, thank you.
Thank you.